You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, in space, no one can hear Steve scream, because he isn't. In space, everyone can hear John scream. And in space, Kev screams for ice cream. Listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. It's been a while, but we're back.
We're back.
We are back.
Something strange going on.
It's like Ghostbusters 2, man, except it's Blast Processing.
We're back. I'm bad. You're black. We're off to a great start. As you can see, things haven't changed.
No.
At all.
Not really.
We got a nicer mic setup.
We do.
That's a gear-related thing, isn't it?
It's gear-related.
It's not video game gear-related.
What kind of mic do we have now, Kev?
It's a condenser. A studio condenser.
It's a gray microphone.
It's an Apex.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So
it's
chrome finish.
Yeah.
It's got cables.
I brought over a windsock for it, but I figure we're indoors. We're not going to need that.
No.
There you go. That's our gear-related...
Yeah.
We bought a microphone. No more recording with the crappy microphone in the laptop, so...
Actually, that sounded pretty good. You know, we should... Yeah, we should take this down and just use that.
I disagree. I think just, you know, we can Instagram pictures of our mic stand, and people automatically know what we're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the future? Isn't that great? The voyeuristic tendencies of society will know that we're recording a podcast because of the mic stand.
Next thing you know, I'd be taking pictures of your food.
Yeah, when you go to a restaurant or something, you'll be sharing pictures of food. The future!
I like to put up status updates about my fitness regimen. Yeah? People know when I'm going to the gym for a swell. When I'm going to get swole.
That option was on my Zombie Run app, which is kind of a video game.
Kind of.
But I turned off that option to share it on Facebook. I didn't want people to know.
You didn't want people to know that you were running from zombies?
Well, I don't want to spam Facebook with that. Facebook gets spammed enough already. I don't want to add to the spam.
Well, so, you know, I turned off the option. I don't want people to know on Netflix that I'm watching My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, so I turned that off.
Yeah, me too, man.
I don't want people to know that I'm watching Streets of Fire for the 800th time.
Funny story, my wife asked me the other day how many times have I watched Smokey and the Bandit since it went up on Netflix, and I don't know.
You can think about it, John, but don't you do it.
Well, there you have it.
Mm-hmm. That was John, by the way. I'm Steve. With me always, as always, is Gabe.
Hey, guys. Nice to see you out there.
Sarah's here somewhere.
Hello.
She probably didn't show
up. You be quiet, spectator!
I didn't... What?
Audience participation is not encouraged.
Fine, I'm going home. Wait a minute.
You are home. What did you say?
So we've all been playing games this week.
Yes, we have.
We have, indeed. We've got a few to talk about. We're gonna mix things up a little bit. We're each going to... You know, pick a game, discuss it, and then we'll get you some news in there somewhere at some point, and whatever other little surprises we have in store, you know, we're going to keep it fresh, we're going to keep it hip and happening, you know.
Because that's how we roll.
It is.
Pretty sick.
We are the least coolest guys.
We are so lame. It's so awesome. Quick little shout out before we start. I would like to give some mad props and mad respect to one of our competing podcasts. I guess you could say it's competition. It's pretty much the only regular Newfoundland-based podcast outside of Blast Processing.
And we will crush them. We will destroy them.
But I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Adam Peddle, who hosts Console Culture, who may very well have a legitimate Punch-Out world record.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's looking into the nitty and the gritty, as it were, but he's got a faster completion time than whoever is currently listed in
in some
book. Now, which version? Somewhere. Is it Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Or yes, Punch-Out featuring... No,
it's Mike Tyson's okay. Punch-Out.
Yeah. Okay, because gosh, listen, let's just get it out there. Mr. Dream is a bitch.
But you know what, Mike? Or Adam, sorry. I'm used to talking to our microphone here. I call him Mike. But anyway, Adam, best of luck to you, man. We hope it works out. And we'll see you at Sci-Fi Con this year when we annihilate you utterly.
Not at Punch-Out, though.
Probably. He's probably a lot better than us at Punch-Out.
Yeah. It's
That's okay. He can start playing Punch-Out. I'm going to nail him with a chair from behind him and spray paint NWO on his back. Can't be put on his feather boa and sunglasses.
Oh, that's so not happening.
Anyway, who's talking about what first? Who's got a game to discuss?
We all got games.
Yeah. I'm not going to first.
It's the one that's been out the longest. And I can remember getting very, very mad at a guest post when the game was originally announced back in the fall of 2010. So we're going to talk about Ninja Theory's reboot of Devil May Cry.
Ooh.
Cool.
I picked this one up pretty much, you know, the day it came out. I've been following it since it was originally announced, sorry. And I can't think of another game besides Mass Effect 3 to stir up that kind of venom from the fan community.
Yeah, it wasn't what I would call the most... That's not true. I can't even say it wasn't well-received, because it was pretty well-received. The reviews were pretty good.
Yeah, no, I don't mean the review. I mean when it was first announced.
Yeah, the art design and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bullshit, too, though.
It was, and I can honestly say if you're looking for, you know, the type of 3D action game that Devil May Cry kind of, you know, created back in, what was it, 2000? 2001 the first game was?
2001, fall 2001. 2001. The Golden Age.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. And you take that and you mix it in with the cinematic approach that Ninja Theory has taken since Heavenly Sword and Enslaved. And it works really, really well. You know, look past the... I don't even know why they call it an emo character design. Because instead of being a kind of this surfer Japanese caricature view of an American youth, Dante's got this whole... You know, he's 100% punk rock swagger in this game.
I think in that respect he hasn't changed much. I think his look was almost more based on, you know... glam rockers.
Yeah.
You know, Japan's interpretation of metal singers and glam rock singers, guys like Iggy Pop and, you know, the old David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust kind of thing. But I think the new one is a lot cooler. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, he's got a Union Jack patch on his coat.
Exactly.
It's pretty awesome.
He must be British.
He's got a hoodie. He smokes cigarettes.
Does he watch Captain Kangaroo?
He does.
Excellent.
He's working on a 5-alarm hangover. In fact, the very first level, he's suffering from a hangover.
He is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He gets dressed during the first boss fight.
I dug the style. I remember watching you play it. I didn't play it myself, but I really dug the style and the art design.
That's something Ninja Theory always does well, though.
Yeah.
Enslaved and Heavenly Sword are beautiful games, you know?
And actually, it's not so much the gameplay this time around, because, I mean, they had to keep things running fairly fast, and Devil May Cry has always been known for, you know, lightning-paced combat.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really go, you know, Enslaved and Heavenly Sword, I believe, were 100% motion-captured.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
And it's really only the cinema scenes in Devil May Cry. But, I mean, the stuff's fantastically acted, wonderfully directed. Right? It looks great. The game is... It's epic in scope, and I couldn't be happier with it.
How's the story? Because I know Ninja Theory, you know, like Enslaved and Heavenly Sword both had amazing stories.
It's actually pretty good. It kind of... a lot of people complained because... And this was the biggest complaint you read in the reviews, that, you know, Dante was still... Instead of being, you know, pizza time dudes, it was more just randomly dropping F-bombs and...
pizza time dudes.
But... No, the story's pretty good. You know, it's kind of about this guy who's been alone his entire life, rediscovering his family, and you know, being forced into this invisible war. But it gets really, really good. It's more of a... and this is going to sound really stupid, but dare I say personal? Right? It's more about the characters.
Well, I mean, that's a step in the right direction that you can actually say it has character and stuff, because I honestly, after playing through all three of them, couldn't tell you what the fuck was going on in Devil May Cry. Mm-hmm. The games made zero sense.
Yeah.
He ran a shop of some kind that happened to be called Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be a detective agency, but instead of being like a typical private investigator like Magnum PI, it was more about being red, but it looked like a burr.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a burr.
Was it a burr? Was it a detective agency? Was it like monster hunting? Was it... Nature calls. Bathroom's in the back, babe. You know?
That's another thing about it. All the trophies and achievements in it are named after stupid things Dante said in the first three games.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think there is actually a trophy called Nature Calls, Bathroom's in the back, babe.
Nice.
It's a good way to make a nod at the original.
I also love the first level of it, you basically being chased across this... pear type environment that looks like the town of Santa Carla from The Lost Boys, being chased by this 80 foot tall Eddie from Iron Maiden looking monster. And at one point, you know, you're running out in front of a mirror, and a clothing and wig shop explodes, and a wig lands on his head that looks just like
the old time.
Oh, no way.
Looks at it for a second, not in a million years.
I played through the first three levels, I think. First three chapters or whatever. And
I think you were at the old mansion where he was starting to collect his new weapons.
Yeah. And, man, I really, really enjoyed it. And the mechanics seemed, like, just different enough. You know, it was almost like Heavenly Sword. You had the two shoulder buttons to channel the different styles
also,
of attack.
The enemies in it, it's also handled like Heavenly Sword. Now, you don't get the colored auras. It's you got to read these guys' animation to... But Dante's got specific weapons and specific attacks that will counter what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's all about switching through your weapons as you're going. And instead of just doing it to keep your keep a score counter high, it's really more of a, you know, this is just how you play the game.
Nice. Yeah. So, you know, okay, we had Heavenly Sword, which was a brilliant match, I felt, of gameplay, graphics, you know, showpiece. It was a real showpiece for early on for the PlayStation 3.
That's why I bought my PS3 after seeing the
demo for Heavenly Sword.
One of the few games I actually enjoyed the motion control with the tilting the controller.
But I mean, it was a showpiece, but it also had just this beautiful story. Really well acted, really well, you know, like great story, amazing ending.
I cried at three different junctures in Heavenly Sword.
Yeah.
Then we had Enslaved, which was a great story, amazing story. Again, you know, real knack for actors, voice talent, motion capture, did really, really well, but didn't have quite the same gameplay perfection that Heavenly Sword did. Where does Devil May Cry fit in their pantheon? You know, is it a better game than Enslaved, but maybe not quite as good? Is it really their best game?
Well, I'd say, actually, gameplay-wise, it's better than Heavenly Sword and Enslaved.
Whoa.
But, no, it's gameplay. That's in your combat and your platforming, that, right? It's a lot tighter, and it feels more like they were trying to just out and out make a game with it.
Yep.
However, it's not quite as grandiose an effort. Like, Enslaved, right from when you start out, art design and everything, it feels like this was a game where they were saying, fuck Hollywood.
Yeah, their heart was really in Enslaved. Yep. You know, that was their game.
Yeah, we're making a gaming experience here to prove that we can stand toe-to-toe with the film industry.
Yeah.
Right? And Devil May Cry is more, you know, and really what I think with Devil May Cry is it came down to, Capcom's kind of been following Square's lead on this and kind of going with some more Western development teams.
Yep.
Trying to relaunch some of their properties. I think Konami has kind of started doing
that. Konami's kind of been into that scheme too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was more of, because the Devil May Cry announcement came right the week Enslaved was released. And Enslaved was pretty heavily hyped in the months leading up to its eventual release.
Yeah.
I think it's more of Capcom signed a hot ticket developer.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of came on as a hired gun, but as things went on, they were given more and more control over what they wanted to do.
Could be, yeah.
And, I mean, right when the game starts, when the opening credits start, they make it crystal clear to you at the beginning that, you know, Capcom proudly presents a Ninja Theory
it didn't feel particularly Capcom-ish.
No.
Other than the combat. Like, when the combat... Like, I mean, the combat really felt like Devil May Cry.
And I think all that boils down to is, you know, they said...
You can't go too far afield.
You know, we want you to make a Devil May Cry game, so play Devil May Cry and see what works.
Put your own spin on it.
Yeah. And so far, I've been loving it. And as a shout-out to one of our listeners, Tony Collins, who's been a... he's a pretty much a diehard Devil May Cry fan. I think
he's a huge Devil May Cry fan.
I think he's been in like Ninja Gaiden, God of War, all those sorts of games.
Not so much, but he always loved Devil May Cry. Yeah. He's always been a huge fan of that series.
And yeah, that was... I had bought in the game, didn't get a chance to try it the first day, but when Tony stepped up and told me, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah, and he said it was light years beyond the old ones.
Yeah, so that's a pretty...
High praise from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like, you know, how the comments... it's not like, you know, how we were talking God of War, how every attack is a stun move, so you can pretty much just keep mashing attack buttons. In this, there's really more strategy to it. And it's just, a lot of people haven't noticed the strategy because the game moves at, you know, 100 miles an hour.
It's a good game?
Yeah, really good game. I would honestly recommend anyone who likes a decent hack and slash to pick it up. You know, anyone who was horribly disappointed with The Last God of War, The Last Ninja Gaiden.
Just see those out there.
Yeah. Give her.
Right on.
Cool.
It's that time once again. Time for...
Chiptunes.
No, that's not right. It's time for news. All the news that's fit to print. Or listen to.
Or say over a microphone on the internet.
That's right. All the news that's fit for us to say and for you to listen to. So sit down, shut up, and listen.
Grab a drink.
Drink! We'll kick it off with the big, big, big news that came out just today. It's still so fresh that it hasn't even ripened yet.
It's so fresh that it's funky and flawed.
It's so fresh the peel is still green.
It's so fresh. Just read the goddamn thing, will you?
He was about to make a laundry joke. And I shot him the angry eyes.
Bungie, purveyors of all things Halo until 2010, I think. Yeah, 2010. That's when Reach came out, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Announced Destiny today.
Destiny! Da-da-da-da-da-da!
Oh,
Well, yeah, anyway, you know, bizarre, somewhat aloof title notwithstanding, it looks freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new persistent world shooter, so it's always online, always connected, with a ton of customization options, factions, armor, costumes, stuff like that, you know.
So if you don't have the internet... You ain't playing Destiny.
No, you're shit out of luck. Even there is apparently a nice single player component to it. You can play through like a single player game, but it still remains connected.
Right.
So it's basically, you know, like soloing, I guess, you know, that sort of thing. But they say all of Bungie's penchant for, you know, narratives and meta and all that stuff is all still intact. You know, they've got this big, deep, multifaceted backstory, tons of mythology, customization options, questing across a ton of locations, all based on our solar system. You can go between planets and stuff like this. There's outer space sections, apparently, where you're in ships, I guess, along the same lines as Reach, which was awesome. It sounds absolutely fantastic. It looks absolutely jaw-droppingly fantastic. And it's not that far away. Like, we may even see it this fall.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
You would think... For a second I was going to say something about whether or not they would save it for the next console, but...
I'm sure there'll be next-generation versions of it. Like,
yeah.
From what people are saying, the word on the street is basically the only two versions that have been officially announced are PS3 and 360.
Right.
So no PC version as of yet.
Yeah.
No next-gen console version as of yet.
And no Wii U, of course.
No Wii U. Come on, really? Oh. Nintendo may sell 60,000 copies that month. But either way, you know, it looks absolutely astonishing. The art design is is kind of somewhere between Star Wars and Dune. You know, like, they've got this, you know, the clean, almost Mass Effect-style armor and stuff, but then they've got, like, everything wrapped in cloaks and funky-looking visors and masks and stuff. It's just, it's got a beautiful art design. And the factions look really neat, really interesting. The gameplay sounds absolutely phenomenal. I'm mega, mega excited.
Can't wait to see what their rip on the Necromundus is.
But that's the other thing about it, you know, it's easy to say, like, oh, well, it could look like Mass Effect, or it could look like Halo, or it could look like Star Wars, or whatever, but it really only looks like Destiny. You know, it only looks... Well, that sounds terrible when you put it that way. But, you know, it only looks like... It looks original, it looks new.
And so easy to make fun of.
It really looks great, and I'm super excited. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've earned respect. What they've done with Halo over the years, and this idea just sounds so lofty, so high concept. I really think it's the future. I really think what they're pushing here is the future.
Yeah,
you know, I think it is. You know, forget motion control gimmicks and all this kind of crap and 3D and all of that. This what they're doing here with social interaction and how it's tied into, like, mobile apps and stuff like that, you know. You see in the first concept video, you see a guy receiving a notification on his iPhone from one of his clanmates saying, you know, meet in Venus tonight.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I think, you know, I would probably end up disabling all notifications, because occasionally my He-Man app on my iOS will pop up saying, you haven't saved Eternia yet. And I'm like, screw you! I owe you nothing! I owe you nothing!
I think it's more of a situation where, like, they're really going for the social aspect of it.
Right.
So it's almost like an MSN kind of, you know, like, other people you play with and stuff being able to contact back and forth.
Right, right.
And a way of telling you, you know, like, okay, you didn't log in last night, here's what you missed.
Right.
You know, so-and-so-and-so-and-so captured the such-and-such sector of Planet X, you know, whatever, like that kind of stuff. It's almost like the achievements and trophies are tied that way.
Don't you wish you'd been around for that shit?
Yeah.
Flash Gordon last night defeated me the Merciless, and you weren't there.
You know, like
you kind of awesome slow-motion jump.
Kind of like how when I turn on Sleeping Dogs, it tells me that Larry Lockyer just beat my...
Right.
You know, beat my time... With clean in a clean drive. It's like, yeah. Oh no,
and then
this shit will not stay.
Then you drive around the city for 50 minutes
just trying to get 2 minutes without colliding into something. And it's really fucking hard when you're driving on the wrong side of the road, okay?
And then when you, it's not enough to just break his record, it has to be destroyed so he never attempts to do it again.
But I think it could really, like, you know, can you imagine, you know, being at work or something like this and getting a notification, you know?
Dog, I gotta go home.
Chandra the Giant has just beat your, you know, your kill streak on such and such. Damn you, Tommen! And you gotta go home and...
Oh no, Mark Hayman. Oh no!
So this is gonna be a PlayStation game as well, eh?
It's PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
That is good. I will be able to play it.
Yep.
Because you know me, I don't Xbox. I don't do the Xbox. Okay, next up. So we talk about this, well, depending on how this is cut, it could be in the future.
We will
talk about aliens, colonial marines at some point. Okay, so, Aliens Colonial Marines looks considerably less attractive than it did when it was shown at E3 last year.
Aliens Colonial Marines got fed.
Troubled development is the suspected culprit. Reports have varied, but many believe that Gearbox farmed development out to Timegate Studios, most known for the online shooter Section 8.
Which was okay.
I never played it. Didn't even hear of it until just then.
Oh.
While they completed Borderlands 2. Sega says Gearbox did the deed. Gearbox blames Timegate. Somebody is lying. The only losers are those of us who shelled out cash behind, based on Randy Pitchford's 10-minute walkthrough from last year, which is not even remotely representative of the finished product. However, you did get a lovely statuette, didn't you, Steve?
I got a cool power loader.
Yeah.
With an alien in it. But that was a little disappointing.
Yeah?
I can't take the alien out of the power loader's claws, because it's all one piece. So I can't have my power loader chokeslamming my Charlie Brown.
That's bullshit. How could you have a power loader and not be able to put whatever you want in it?
Randy Pitchford lied to us. He said Charlie Brown was going down. Get away from her, you...
What was it? The
blockhead.
You blockhead. Oh. That's good. Oh, I like that.
Speaking about blockheads, Nintendo sees considerable failure for the first little bit of 2013. The Wii U has sold less than 50,000 units. The 3DS continues to struggle. And there's not much of anything on the horizon. Is Nintendo finally circling the drain? We say nay. A failure so colossal has got to sting. Retailers look to Nintendo and cry, price cut. Nintendo whispers back,
no.
I feel bad, man. I really hope they don't.
Man, you know what? I was dead set against the Wii U, and yeah. I will say we called it, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was we first started this whole Pixel Verdict venture, and one of the first episodes of Blast Processing I was ever on, I said, you know what? The Wii, they chased the fad money.
Yeah.
And this is all it was. They went after the fad. They got their success at the cost of longevity. As soon as the fad wore out, it would die off. Whatever system they were going to cook up after the Wii 2 or whatever it was called, was going to tank miserably.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
I'll just say that the youngsters who used to come into Microplay all the time and called me the Gandalf of gaming did not call me that for nothing.
I just wanted them to make a good system, you know. I don't want gaming to turn into
the Gandalf of gaming because you didn't shave and you smelled like the halfling's leaf.
I'm really nervous about the industry turning into a two party system. You know,
it always was a two party thing, though.
Well, it was two parties with this little thing over to the side that, you know.
Yeah, it was always two parties, dude. It always was. It's never really truly been.
Yeah, forget Sony and Microsoft. It always has. It always was, and always will be Nintendo and Sega.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's true.
The other side of it is. I think, like, in all seriousness, laying all jokes aside, I really think that Nintendo, in particular, has done more damage this generation than anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Wii and branching out into that casual market, getting all the casual fans, becoming the fad or the cultural craze. The downside to this is when all these fickle hangers-on get sick of the system and leave, you know, when they grow tired of Wii Fit or Wii Bowling, which they did, according to sales numbers 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Where did they go?
Sarah, how long did you use your Wii Balance Board?
A couple months.
10 minutes?
No, I used it a couple of months.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, it's one of those situations. These people aren't going to go buy Xboxes. They're not going to go buy PlayStation 3.
Yes.
And now we've got this sales expectation thing. You know, we've got this, well, if Nintendo could sell 100 million consoles this generation, we can too. No,
well,
we can't.
A lot of that too is you're looking at, you know, with the 360 and everything, gaming finally became huge. You know, or with
PlayStation 1.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of younger executives and everything coming up in these companies now.
Yeah,
and people are seeing the success from Nintendo. And of course, they're trying to replicate it.
Yeah,
and you know, it's the same thing as like the, what's the company, Zynga? That's got all the Facebook games and everything.
Yeah,
the ass has fallen out of the market now.
Yep,
you know,
Facebook gaming is dead.
It's a short ride, and you didn't save your money.
But it's a situation, you know. It's just I hate to see him fail on it because you know what? I tried one, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I plan on picking one up. I really do. I will own a Wii U. Hey, you liked it too.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, never mind then. Forget it. Forget I talked to you.
Yeah, but
I found it difficult watching two screens.
You're not here. Thing. Silence, wench.
No, I don't think that really flies with me.
In other news,
that doesn't involve Steve and his wife getting into a fist fight.
Ubisoft's incredibly awesome open world cyber thriller, which I think did we discuss it on our post E3 Lost episode?
Our Lost episode, yes, we did.
We did, yeah. Called Watch Dogs, which looks absolutely freaking awesome. Is set to hit home consoles this holiday season.
Actually, I believe our entire reaction to the trailer was just.
I don't remember that at all. I have no memory of that.
We recorded an episode while you were gone. Dalvin replaced you.
Really? No.
I believe Dalvin was here when we recorded that episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, you know, Watch Dogs, open world cyber thriller, you know, hacking into the infrastructure that controls day-to-day life, using your cell phone to access other people.
I remember that now.
It looks fantastic. Yeah. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
According to popular word on the street right now, it will be hitting home consoles this holiday season.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Which means it's closer than we thought, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also means that $60 less I spend on my son this Christmas.
That's right. It also means it will probably be a next generation console Christmas this year.
Yeah.
You know, I know Sony's got the big announcement coming this week.
Sony does. I'm actually really excited about it.
Wednesday evening, 6:30 local time.
Yeah.
Let's hold on like that geek hope that's going to be like the PS1 announcement. PlayStation 4 is coming. It's going to be in stores this Wednesday. It's on the truck.
No, I think it'd be cooler actually if they said, you know, here's the system. Look, we've actually got 6 or 7 awesome launch titles.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs is one of them.
Remember the Boomerang controller? Well, it, like all boomerangs, it came back.
Look for it on store shelves this June to coincide with E3. You know, like, that'd be...
It would be.
Holy crap, you know?
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen.
No.
But it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. But yeah, Watch Dogs, this fall, awesome.
Cool. Square Enix just registered a whole bunch of websites.
Really?
They did. You typed this up, Steve. You know.
Tell me more. Want to know more? Would you like to know more?
Including warfornosgoth.com. Now, gentlemen, what amazing series from the previous generation was set in the fictional fantasy realm of Nosgoth, I wonder?
I don't know.
Well, I didn't know earlier. I had to be reminded. But it was a great franchise.
It was.
And I was very happy to see it come back.
Are we going to let people look that up themselves?
Yes.
Okay. No.
No, that...
Now, let's be nice to our listeners.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't make me.
Kevin, when we're not recording this, all you talk about is how much you hate our listeners.
All I gotta do is say it.
Mouth breathers.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, so Soul Reaver.
Legacy of Kain.
Yes.
Soul Reaver. Soul Reaver 2. Defiance. Mm-hmm. Blood Omen.
Yeah.
We're gonna forget Blood Omen 2 because of the show.
I don't remember
that. Simon Temple would say that term.
No. You're allowed. Everybody's allowed one. But you know what? We've talked about it before. I know we talked a while ago. One of our ambush topics was bringing old franchises back.
Mm-hmm.
And my pick was Legacy of Kain. You know, yeah. I want to see Square focus all of the might that they put on stuff like Deus Ex.
We also had another ambush topic on what would you like to see in an HD collection? And your answer then was also Legacy of
Kain. Didn't they do one?
No. Not yet.
They should.
I'm sure. Oh, no. I'm thinking of because you can download the title on the PSN.
PS2, the PS2 classics.
Yeah,
they've also got the PS1 original Soul Reavers.
There as well.
Yeah, that's the one I've got downloaded. Actually,
Soul Reaver was great.
Yeah,
great Soul Reaver 2 was amazing. Mm-hmm. Defiance was amazeballs.
In news that's not amazeballs, John Romero is rumored to be joining forces with Square Enix. Maybe we'll finally see a version of Daikatana that lives up to his creative vision. Oh, Daikatana.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know? What?
No.
Kev, you need to Wikipedia Daikatana.
Do I?
Yeah.
You guys aren't just going to tell me.
No,
it'd take too long. Be here for half an hour.
It was
explaining the tragedy and travesty that was Daikatana.
Are you familiar with a company called Ion Storm?
No.
Are you familiar with Doom?
Yes.
So you know who John Romero is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, he left id Software and was involved in the creation of this company called Ion Storm.
Right.
Which was kind of like the Image Comics of the video game world.
Okay.
It was him, Warren Spector, I can't even remember who else was. I think Ken Levine might have been in there. There was a bunch of big...
Hot young PC developers.
Right.
A bunch of them. And one of the games coming out of Ion Storm, they had a development deal with Eidos. Eidos was their publisher. They go in, they develop whatever they wanted. Thief.
And Eidos was red hot at the time as well.
Thief wasn't. Thief wasn't Ion Storm, was it? The original Deus Ex was.
Oh, okay.
The original Deus Ex was Ion Storm.
Was Omicron Ion Storm?
Omicron wasn't. Anachronox was.
Anachronox
was. But anyway, you know, Daikatana was Romero's offering. You know, it was kind of like the equivalent of Youngblood with Image Comics, you know?
And this game was supposed to be the shit.
Right. It was, you know, like, I mean, here was a guy who worked on Doom and Quake, making what, by all accounts from the media, would be a Quake killer. It was powered on the Quake engine.
You remember the first ad?
John Romero is going to make you his bitch. Suck it down.
Really?
Full-page magazine ad.
Now, apparently he had nothing to do with it. Apparently this was entirely marketing. This was all
right.
But,
wow.
But this, this is what the ad said. John Romero is going to make you his bitch. Suck it down.
but that'll just tell you how, like, this was the level of hype people were talking. This guy was, like Juicers from Team Ninja.
Yeah.
This guy was a veritable rock star, right?
He drove around with his long hair and his yellow Lamborghini Diablo and, you know, hung out in all the fancy clubs with the LA musicians and, you know, all of it. He was quintessential rock star developer.
Hmm.
Originally, his ambition was to have this big co-op shooter. It's the shooter where you had the best AI teammate that you've ever seen in a shooter.
Right.
What ended up being released was glitchy, buggy, horrible, ugly,
and 2 years late.
Oh, yeah, over 2 years late. Yeah. And just really, 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 really bad. Horrible game. I believe in the end it was built on a combination of the Quake 2 and Duke Nukem 3D engines. So it was horrible.
In what year did it finally come out? 98?
99, I think.
99.
It came out in 99.
Okay, so the Dreamcast had landed.
Yeah.
Wow.
And before, I mean, it was hyped. Before it was released, it was mega hyped. But when it hit hard. It hit kind of like Aliens Colonial Marines.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna make jokes about that every single podcast.
Devastation was widespread.
Yeah.
No one will survive. No one. And so yeah, that's the only thing I could see John Romero sign up with Square Enix. Because Square's got this whole thing about, you know, they're all about, what's their hobby nowadays? Resurrection.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Square's all about, you know, grabbing these franchises. Look at their past few years. Okay, we've had the marvelous rebirth of Deus Ex.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible.
Sleeping Dogs, in which they took the laughable true crime franchise, slapped a new name on it, and released a goddamn amazing game.
That I personally consider to be better than Saints Row or GTA.
Yeah. Hitman, which was just
marvelous.
Yeah. And now we've got Tomb Raider.
Coming. Which looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully Legacy of Kain.
That would be amazing.
And who knows, maybe Daikatana.
Maybe Daikatana. I'm interested to see what...
It's just a rumor at this point.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what he might have up his sleeve. But, you know, I think it's just a situation like, this guy was a level designer. And that's all he ever was a level designer. And I remember, like, I remember reading the news story about Romero and the failure of Daikatana, and how whenever his name came up around, like, some of the id guys, like the old school id guys, like Carmack and all of these guys, they'd always kind of laugh. Whenever someone said John Romero, they were always kind of like, ha, 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 oh, John.
Right.
You know, like, he was always kind of a running gag with those guys.
Ed Boon, he was not.
No. I guess that's it for news.
That is it for news.
That is it for news.
There is no more news.
No?
No.
There will be at some point.
There is no news. Only Zool.
I did manage to get my hands on a pretty long-awaited game this week. We did finally get the Gearbox-developed, Sega-published Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yay!
I'm honestly amazed at how long it took somebody to, you know, even attempt this, like, first-person or third-person shooter based on Aliens.
Well,
because it seems like it'd be a license to print money.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things. It was originally announced back in, I think, 2000 for PlayStation 2 as a co-op shooter at a time when co-op was, you know, all the rage. And then I guess Halo came out, and the guys who were developing Colonial Marines basically said, well, fuck.
Well, moving on.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that one dead, it was, I think, around... This one's been a really long time coming, man. I think it was originally announced in 2006. And then there was nothing at all said about it until 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing said about it again until, like, last spring. So it was a pretty quiet time. I mean, in that time, Gearbox had, you know, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway. They had... Borderlands.
Right, yeah.
Duke Nukem Forever.
Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2.
Mm, yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, finally...
Didn't Sega also release another Aliens
license? Alien vs. Predator came out in 2010, and apparently it was kind of a situation where in 2008 they had to decide which game was far enough along that like was closest to release, and it was AVP, so AVP got pushed and like pushed out the door, I should say, and then Colonial Marines was put on the back burner, which, right. You know, many saw as a sign that Colonial Marines was the real one they wanted, you know, the real meat and potatoes game. It was what Sega was putting all their efforts behind. You know, there's no easy way of saying it. It's a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a letdown. It's not a bad game. It captures the atmosphere pretty well. It looks solid, you know.
Nobody can see you with your hand in the air, John. It's radio.
I don't get out of this chicken shit outfit. Secure that shit, Hudson.
You know, it's a situation where, you know, I don't think they could have really pleased the fans at all. But let me rephrase that. They couldn't have pleased the fans at all with anything less than a real polished AAA product.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the guys who made Borderlands 2 on that box. You know, and Borderlands 2 was astounding. Let's just call it like it is. Borderlands 2 was a freaking amazing game. The first Borderlands is an amazing game. And there's no reason that these guys couldn't have put all that effort behind Aliens. And when they first showed a gameplay demo, like when we first saw a chunk of what Randy Pitchford, the president of the Gearbox, calls a vertical slice of gameplay, it was at E3 last year, E3 2012, there was about a 9-minute long gameplay sequence. And when I saw this gameplay sequence, I thought, okay, awesome. You know, someone has finally taken this license and done it justice. I thought, Borderlands, okay, you know, the guys who made Borderlands are making an Aliens game, and it's going to be kick-ass. The end result?
Slightly better than AVP. In my opinion, slightly. Like, very slightly. Just from watching you play, and having just played through AVP for the first time.
Taken as a whole,
yeah.
If I take AVP as a whole, as a complete concept, Colonial Marines is better.
Right.
Taking the human campaign from AVP.
Right.
I think it edges Colonial Marines out slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a little better.
Yeah.
The aliens have better AI in AVP.
Yeah.
The tension's a lot.
Oh my god, the tension is.
You know? I mean, that was the big thing. Right off the bat, the biggest flaw I've got is you've got this opening sequence on board the Sulaco, 17 or 18 weeks after Aliens. And it should be tense as hell. You should be, like, this should be the first time you walked into Rapture.
Yeah.
This should be, you know, the opening chapter of Dead Space.
Walking onto the Ishimura.
Yeah, like, okay, the type of gamers who play stuff like Halo or Dead Space, you know, the guys, Gears of War, these are the type of people who, like me, have probably seen Aliens into the triple digits.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is the thing, people who've seen Aliens into the triple digits, guys, I mean, I'm an Aliens freak. I've seen the movie more times than I care to count. I love it, unequivocally. And for someone like me, you can kind of put aside those expectations of a AAA product, those expectations of a game that rivals Halo or Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever, set in the Aliens universe, you know? And you can still enjoy it because of the fan service. You can still enjoy it because, hey, look, I'm on the Sulaco, and there's Hicks's locker.
Mm.
Oh, there's the cryo bays, but two of them have been ejected. Oh, that must have been from the beginning of Alien 3. Cool, you know, like,
trophy. I keep this on.
Yeah, keep this for Close Encounters, or hey, eat this.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of fan service in there, and it shows that there was definitely some care and concern, I guess, for doing justice to it.
Yep.
But the craftsmanship is just not there. You know, it's kind of a haphazardly put together game. You know, with ADP, you fire it up, you see Rebellion as the developer. Who the heck are Rebellion? You know, like, well, I mean, we know who Rebellion are, but the general public sees that logo and thinks, huh, okay. You know, the guys who made Rogue Trooper for PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
Right.
You know, that's
their most
notable work. So, and the old AVP games on PC, which were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with AVP, it defied expectations. You fire it up and it's like, man, they nailed the atmosphere. Nail it.
Yep.
It is wicked. Really tense, really, you know, shriek-inducing at times, and, like, the first time you come up against a predator in the game is terrifying.
Oh, man, it is,
absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, they really nail it, and Colonial Marines does none of that. You know, the first time you encounter an alien, it's kind of cool, and it's a little tense, but it's more tense just because of how hard the game is when you set it to ultimate badass. You know, like, it is ridiculously difficult. But I died a lot, but it felt more like I died because I just couldn't draw a bead.
Yeah.
You know, like, I died because I couldn't see what I was shooting at, which is, I mean, okay, aliens are supposed to be dark, but it was almost more herky-jerky, you know? It wasn't because I was genuinely overwhelmed by an adversary. It was almost more like I was fighting the game rather than an opponent, you know what I mean?
What got me was watching that, when one of the Marines was trying to get the door open to get back in the umbilical to the Sephora.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm assuming this is the part of the game where we're all supposed to be, you know, crapping our pants in terror because the air vents all open up and the things are, like, crawling
out. Start pouring in, yeah.
Start pouring in. And what do? They land and then jump to the walls and then jump down and then jump back to the walls and jump down, right?
Yep. And it just, it feels like there's no sense of atmosphere. There's no sense of natural lighting. You know, there's some good lighting effects in the game, but there's no sense that you're in a real space, like a space with real lighting. You know, there's no sense of that dark, murky pools of shadow and stuff like this. You know, it's just kind of bland. It really is. And it's, you know, after seeing that amazing demo in May of last year or June of last year, it's a letdown. It's a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, weapon sounds are great. And some of the, like, every now and again you hit a moment where the graphics are like, oh, okay, yeah, I can get behind this. This is cool. And some of the lighting effects in it are nice. You know, you get some nice atmosphere and stuff with them, but it never really feels immersive enough. It never really, you know, gets you in there.
Mm-hmm.
I did spend a little bit of time with the PC version, and graphically speaking, the PC version is a massive improvement. The mod community has kicked in already. They've already started modding this thing, and I did download, it's like a lens flare mod.
Really?
That adds DirectX 10 effects to the game.
Have they added Macho Man Randy Savage to it yet?
No, not yet.
Macho Man, coming to get you.
Coming to get you.
But no, the lens flares.
They gotta wait till you come up and use a queen for that, though.
they definitely do add a little bit to it. I mean, it might sound like something minor, but pop in Killzone 2 or Killzone 3 again and see how awesome lens flares can look.
Yeah.
And there's a prime example. Can you imagine an Aliens game put together with that degree of craftsmanship?
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine an Aliens game built from the ground up with the pedigree of something like Borderlands or Killzone?
Yeah.
And how freaking amazing it could be. And yet, we get Sega.
Well, every time I play Halo, that's all I can think of.
Well, man, Halo 4, like, the opening chapter of Halo 4 was just jaw-droppingly stunning.
Yeah.
And this was a new studio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, they had a lot of resources kicking around, but I mean, we're talking about Gearbox. We are talking about the guys who, even Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway, which, you know, wasn't a huge budget game, was pretty competently assembled, you know? Had a bit of polish to it. And Borderlands 2 were just incredible. And what happened? I mean,
well, for one, we should stop Sega from acquiring film licenses because they're turning into the new Acclaim.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, I think a lot of the fault does reside with Sega on this one. I don't know if it's that they just, you know, they didn't give the resources or time that was needed, or it was too much up in the air, too much in question about what was going on with the game development.
I just don't think they can manage a developer.
I don't. And again, I mean, you know, maybe Gearbox is so small that Borderlands ate up their development time. I don't know, because, I mean, Borderlands 2 got pushed out just this fall. So, you know, maybe that had a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's other rumors, of course, which we'll get to a little, you know.
Yeah, we will be talking about that in length.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things where a game that could have and should have been so much better.
Yeah.
And really, for all intents and purposes, was so much better when it was initially shown off to the public. Got voiced to the unsuspecting gamers, and that's a little tragic. You know, I don't want to slag off the game, because it is a competent shooter. It is, for what it does it at a passable level. It's not, you know, the 4 out of 10 that some sites are making it out to be. It's not this big, colossal failure of epic proportions that some are pointing it out to be. But, I mean, I remember the original, like, the AVP in 2010 wasn't held in the highest of regards either, and we actually really enjoyed that. I think we gave that a 4 out of 5 when we reviewed it for Pixel Verdict. You know, so it's not that, you know, the game is bad. It's just, it's a letdown. It's a disappointment. That's how I feel about it.
Hmm.
You know, bad animations, pretty stilted character movements, some decent moments where, you know, like, okay, it actually looks kind of good now, but it should look good all the time.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna dust off, nuke it from orbit.
Well, it's the only way to be sure. But I think it's worth a playthrough. You know, I do. I think it is worth a playthrough, and I think fans of the film will definitely get some enjoyment out of it. Don't start on Ultimate Badass, though. Crank it down a notch. Just go in and turn off the UI.
Yeah, you are not State of the Badasser.
No.
So, a passable first-person shooter. If you're an Aliens fan, you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
But it's not changing anything. It's not changing the rules of the game.
It ain't no game changer. Yeah. It really ain't no game changer. And when so many other games have borrowed so heavily from Aliens,
yeah,
you know, over the years, just the fact that, you know, the influential product can't do justice to the imitators, you know, that there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
There really is. There's something wrong. I'd love to see a real, you know, like, yeah, like a Killzone style. I'd love to see, mm-hmm, like, someone like Guerrilla tackle that game, you know, or...
Who are the guys who did Halo 4?
343 Industries. They're all Halo.
Yeah.
They're the Halo studio, right? But, I mean, even turn it into a third-person shooter, even get some, like, make something along the same lines as Gears of War or something like that, you know, it would be a freaking amazing game.
I'm just thinking about Visceral doing Aliens.
Visceral, yeah, see, there you go. EA, go after that license.
Oh, man.
Get the hell away from Sega.
Okay, so let's talk about Dead Space 3, gentlemen. Oh my goodness. I've played through Dead Space. I've played through Dead Space 2, Dead Space Extraction, the Dead Space iOS game. The only one I haven't played is Dead Space Infiltration, that hacking game, comic book/thing.
The what? Who?
Yeah, it's like a comic book game.
What was
like,
the rail shooter you were trying to get me to play?
Oh, Extraction.
Came with Dead Space 2.
That was supposed to be pretty good.
It was fantastic. I played it using the Move, and it was awesome.
Okay.
That's a reason to own the Move, actually.
I actually own it for the Wii.
Oh, yeah?
But I've never played it.
Okay. Mm. It'll probably be good on the Wii, too.
I have it for PlayStation 3 as well.
Right. Then definitely play it on PlayStation 3.
Okay. You don't have to tell me that.
Yeah. Do you need the Move to play? Can I play with the controller?
Yes, you can. But it's actually really good.
I don't own a PlayStation Move. Can I play without it?
But it's really good with the Move, actually. Really good. Right, so Dead Space 3. Oh my god. Like, okay. Early contender for Game of the Year, for me, anyway.
Very early.
Very early contender.
Very, very early.
It's fantastic. I can't get over how good it is. Just being... Getting to see more of that universe that they're creating with the Dead Space franchise, you know? And not being out, you know, out in the, you know, out in Dead Space.
It's not Event Horizon, the video game anymore.
Yeah, exactly, right? You're getting to see a little bit more of the world and the universe.
Well, that opening section on the lunar colony. You know, you're up in the building after stuff goes wrong and the necromorphs start appearing again. I mean, you look out that window and you see the Earth creeping up on the horizon.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah,
really
why, because we were playing and I was like, wait a second. Where are we? Because I saw the Earth and I was like, oh, we're on the moon.
We're on the moon.
That is so cool.
Earth rulers on the moon. We carry a harpoon.
Oh, I wonder what a harpoon would be like in the Dead Space universe.
Well, there ain't no whales. So
well, it'd be like the javelin, that gun that fires the javelin spears.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the harpoon.
That's the harpoon, essentially. Yeah, because when you shoot it in Dead Space 2, like, you attach necromorphs to walls. Like, it'll travel and stick them into walls.
I remember when Dead Space 2 came out, we had the conversation about health and safety in the workplace, in the Dead Space universe.
Well, the Dead Space universe is so bloody because they don't have freaking health and safety problems.
Totally. The game is gorgeous, hands down.
Beautiful.
Man, the opening is awesome. I can't say enough good about it. This is a triple-A title, clearly. This is something that, you know, Aliens should have been.
Clearly. I mean, I hate being Mr. Contrarian Douche.
Said earlier you really dug this game.
No, this is not about this. Okay. This is not about this. But everybody loves to beat up on EA.
Right.
Everybody loves to just take their wiffle bats and pound EA into a bloody pulp using styrofoam bats so it'll take that much longer. Like
it's because of Marvel Nemesis.
They're the whipping boy of the video game industry. No matter what they do, they can do no right.
Right.
You know, they're that kind of company.
Despite the fact, you know, how many years ago was Burnout Paradise? you know, they put out AAA Racer and then give a year's worth of free DLC.
Yeah,
and I don't
it doesn't
like
matter.
DLC, I don't mean that DLC every matter, 2 months. John. It was like once a week.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really means it's meaningless. The gaming public just hates them. I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, they're two of my favorite like, franchises, yeah. You know, Dragon Age and Dead Space.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And I mean, I get the same vibe.
Oh, yeah, Master.
I get the same vibe from Dead Space 3. Like, when I fired up that and saw that opening sequence
yeah.
on that Arctic planet, and then after you leave Lunar, like the Lunar Colony,
yeah.
that stuff, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah,
that
unbelievable.
Looked absolutely astounding. That, my friends, is production value.
Yeah.
That is, you know, you look at that and it's just like, man, no one else out there is making games like this.
Yeah.
And I got the same vibes from the first few hours of Mass Effect 3 last year. You know, just absolutely mind-blowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really intense, well-produced, and totally immersive. You know, like stuff that even 6 and 7 years into a console life cycle, you're seeing it and you're like, oh my god, this is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
This is absolutely stunning to behold.
People like to latch onto the negative. And this is a part Kev didn't get into in the game. Dead Space 3 does have this thing where, you know, you can buy the with your credit card the pieces of scrap you need to...
Right, it's got these microtransactions. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hardly intrusive.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not looking for it, it's not even... You're not going to see it.
Yeah.
And I love how... someone uncovered an exploit in, like, Chapter 8 of the game.
Oh, really?
That allows you to just build infinite resources.
And
when it was, like, outed or whatever, someone asked EA if it was going to be patched. And EA was like, no, it was intentional. It was just put in there so people could unlock everything,
that's
basically.
Awesome. That's
you know?
Awesome.
And, I mean, that tells me right there, because, I mean, the week the game came out, everybody was like, oh, microtransactions, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing, 11 pieces of
yeah.
DLC.
You know, that was all anybody was focused on. But... okay, fine and dandy, you know, like, alright, whatever, you know, microtransactions, yada, yada, yada. Look at an iOS game.
Yeah.
How many iOS games are, like, you know, pay-to-win games?
Oh my god.
You know?
Vast majority of them. That's how they make their money, these companies.
Look at Call of Duty Elite.
Yeah, look at Call, yeah, here we go.
Look at that new Final Fantasy game that came out for iOS.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's insane. But
I mean, I love seeing stuff when I started my game, it was, thank you for playing Dead Space 2. We have put the following items in the shop for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And like when we fired it up here.
Thank you for playing Mass Effect 3. Yeah. And 7 suit is available.
Yeah. That's really cool. I've only got two minor complaints, really. I only played a little bit of the game and I played through the demo. I don't like the fact that the crouch button is the same as your waypoint indicator button. Like the R3, because in the previous game there was no crouching, so you just click R3 and it would show up. But now you gotta like hold it down a little bit.
And I can totally see when stuff gets intense, like with some of the firefights and that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's human enemies now in Dead Space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna be trying to hit that crouch button, you know, pressing down on that desperately to try to get behind cover, and I was just gonna be doop doop.
Yeah, totally. And I always hate when one button has more than one function, right? It's confusing. There's no reason for it. And the other thing I don't like about it, I'm sure I'll get used to it. The way ammo has changed, so that all ammo works for everything, because you can break down stuff and build your own ammo and all that kind of stuff. But one of the cool things about the previous games that led to the tension was when you would run out of ammo for a certain weapon, and you had to switch out to a weapon that perhaps you weren't comfortable using, right?
Like the Ripper.
Yeah, like the Ripper, right? Or have to go back to backtrack to get more ammo, that kind of a thing. But I understand this is more an action game. You know, and they don't want you focusing so much on that.
It's kind of like what they did with Mass Effect 3 to turn it into more of a shooter than a straight-up RPG. The RPG elements were still there,
yeah,
but the weapon customization was more like something you'd see in a multiplayer shooter or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dead Space 3 is still going to make you scream like a little girl.
Oh, man,
oh yeah.
Still,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
Tense, really tense.
Yeah.
I started playing it, and I was like, you know, okay, with a hard focus on action, it's probably not going to be as scary. Oh, Dead Space, you fool. First door you open.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And that opening sequence, man. That opening sequence was incredible.
Oh, it was fabulous.
Absolutely incredible.
I also love the when it starts up previously on Dead Space.
Yeah.
And goes over the first two games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gives you some backstory, too. Like 200 years worth of...
Did they...
No.
Like, you actually learn about the markers.
Yeah.
And why those were on those other planets.
Yeah.
Because you don't really learn, you don't learn that in the
It's kind of there, but I mean, you gotta be going through text logs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's something I do in Dead Space anyway, because I'm a sucker for it.
Oh, me too.
Like, tonight I wasn't so much because you guys are watching, but when I'm at home, I'm, like, thorough, like, crazy.
I mean, I'm any kind of flavor that's in there, any kind of text, any kind of audio logs, all of that stuff, I devour it, right?
Yeah.
Totally devour it.
I do have to say, when Kev first started watching it, it's always a joy to see whenever Dead Space throws a new type of enemy at you. And it's just something that's wired into us as shooter players. We'll always aim straight for the head.
Yeah.
Even though the game has for three games been trying to beat into us, cut off their limbs.
Yeah.
The head is a limb. There's a neck.
Yeah, you'll notice that first guy, you blew his head off. Did he stop coming?
No. Then I had to go for the legs.
Yeah. It's one of those things, man. And, like, I love it when a game does it to me. I love when you have that moment when you're playing a game and you see something that's particularly gobsmacking. Mm-hmm. You know, you see something that's particularly, like, just really something to see, and you get that smile that, like, wow.
And that happened a whole bunch of times just in that, like, half hour I was playing.
Yeah. Well, the first time, like, when you're on the ship and all the mines come at you and stuff.
Yeah, and when you're out in space for that first time.
So amazing. So impressive.
I just still love the, you know, you've gotten through this really intense action sequence, the huge set piece, you know, rocketing through space, chasing after the escape pod.
Yeah.
And, you know, you land on the cargo doors don't open, so you land on the little landing pad and say, I'm going to go and open the cargo door. You know, you go open up the door, and as soon as you open it up, and, you know, you get the hiss of gas, and you walk in, what's the first thing you see? Splattered in blood on the wall. All is lost.
Yep, this is a Dead Space game.
Yeah, just totally.
The game just bleeds atmosphere.
And I love that, like, just subtle little touches, like the green strips in the face mask reflecting onto the walls, like actually casting light onto the wall. Like, that was so cool, man.
Yeah. Also noticing this one, I didn't know that scene in any other game before. You were getting a reflection in the windows from the targeting beam on the plasma cutter.
Right on.
Cool.
You know, it was kind of like hitting it. You kind of seen it trail off a little bit. It was really neat.
Super awesome game. Yeah.
So, Dead Space 3, buy it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Like, I was... the day it came out, I'm not going to say I was feeling any doubts, because, I mean, it... You know, new Dead Space game. I was going to try it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen reviews 7.5 out of 10. No.
I honestly, I have to say, it's definitely the first must-own game of 2013 by far. And I mean, I know it's only early in the year yet, but we've had, well, you know, Aliens, Colonial Marines, okay. But we've had, you know, we've got Metal Gear Solid Rising, we've got Crisis 3.
We had Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry, yep. There's been a few big releases so far this year. Like, I mean, much like last year, you know, January, February is pretty stacked. And even in the March, Tomb Raider. But I really think Dead Space 3 is the best of the lot. I mean, I know it's early to say. We haven't seen Crisis 3 yet. We haven't seen Metal Gear yet. Well, we've tried Metal Gear. But Dead Space 3 is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's impressive. It really is rather astounding how well put together this game is.
I can't wait to get my taxes done so I can go buy it.
11 out of 10.
11 out of 10?
11 out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. Isaac got them crazy eyes.
and I love seeing Isaac in an apartment.
Yeah.
Not on a ship, not in his uniform, just being who he is.
Seeing the world, man, just seeing that world.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and what a crappy apartment.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Isaac does not live on the big side of town.
And he's a salt and pepper head, too. Did you notice?
He is.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
He also doesn't shave. Like,
no.
Mike's beard is like me. You know, it's growing back the back of his neck. It's curling under his ears and everything.
It's perpetually growing.
Yeah, Isaac, he doesn't take care of himself.
No.
He's been through a lot, man.
Yeah.
He's been through a lot.
What do you say? You know, you can replace an eye. I lost part of my soul out there.
Yeah, it's cool because, I mean, with the first one in particular, you know, I could never really shake this I'm playing Event Horizon, the video game feeling. You know, like, as awesome as it was, as pants-wettingly terrifying as it was, you still got that sense of deja vu.
Well, it's always, you know? And the first game, too, always felt like you're following a waypoint, you get there, oh, Isaac, I need you to go do this.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
your next objective, Isaac, is to...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of plot there.
No. And the plot really started coming in the second one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the parts of that, you know, where you ended up in the pneumatologist.
Oh, that was the best part of that game, yeah.
Right now, we're going through the daycare center and that.
You're not going to enjoy that, Steve.
No.
It's not cool.
And I'm hoping, you know, when eventually in Dead Space 3, when we make it on to Tau Volantis, it's going to feel kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, you are going through a colony and a military installation down there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's, man, great series. Really great series.
Fabulous,
and,
yeah.
You know what? I was going to say I was kind of miffed at them. They stole the Lost Planet Blood Runs Cold tagline. It deserves it.
It does. Yeah. It really does. And, it, you know, it's one of those things... Last parting thought from me for Dead Space 3 is, you know, it's getting towards the tail end now, obviously. We all know that the Wii U is out there. PlayStation 4 is right around the corner. Xbox, whatever it's called, is going to be...
Xbox full circle.
Yeah, at least before the summer is out, we're going to know what's going on there. You know, the next generation is upon us. And you start looking back at what came in this generation, like what new franchises started in this generation. And, I mean, for me, there's really... three or four that, like, really excelled. Three or four series that were just like, you know, you had Assassin's Creed, you had Mass Effect, you had Dead Space.
And Dragon Age.
Dragon Age is great, too. I love Dragon Age. I mean, you know yourself, I'm a huge Dragon Age guy. Huge.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Dragon Age... with Dead Space here.
Dragon Age kind of harkens back a little more.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
It kind of goes back to the generation before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit of a holdover, I guess. But, like, for new, real, fresh ideas... You know, those three, I think. And I think Dead Space deserves its spot there.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, it's horror in a way that Resident Evil can only dream of.
It's a horror in a way that Resident Evil hasn't really pulled off this generation at all.
They haven't.
You know?
And that's not a knock on RE 5 and 6.
No, I mean, I thought 5 and 6 were both great games. I know a lot of people, it's cool to hate on Resident Evil 6 now, but I thought Resident Evil 6 was better than 5.
But it ain't no Dead Space.
But it ain't no Dead Space. There you have it. Another episode in the can, as it were.
In the can? That's gross,
man. We recorded in the bathroom. I mean, what? No, we didn't. Anyway, something new for all you, what is it we call our...
Blasphemers.
Blasphemers.
Blasphemers?
Yeah, we always call them the Blasphemers.
The Blasphemers. All right, Blasphemers, listen up.
Excelsior!
All right, true believers! This next segment is brought to you by... They came from the north, because every podcast about directors and their good, bad, and ugly of films should be brought to you by belligerent Canadians. Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Tastes like bacon.
Smells like maple.
For all your southern charm Americans, you don't know anything about maple.
So this week, the good, the bad, the ugly of gaming. The good, obviously...
Oh, Dead Space 3!
Goddamn right.
Oh, yeah, Isaac Clarke.
He's our man.
He's our man, yeah.
He is, and stunning outdoor spacey scenes that just made Steve go, ooh.
I don't know, man. I still love the, you know, the cultist maniacs coming at you with assault rifles, and Kevin pops up cold as ice and blows someone's head off with a power tool.
Yeah.
Plasma cutter to the face.
Oh, man.
Bitches. Please, Commando, really? Saw blades, whatever.
Arnold Schwarzenegger ain't got shit on an engineer.
That's right. Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't have, what is it, an EVA suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, a plasma cutter.
Well, for the bad, I'm gonna throw this one out to Nintendo. 50,000 units, guys?
Mm.
Really? I just, you know, I think it maybe it's time to reestablish... what made you guys great in the first place, and go back and take another look at your decision-making paradigm.
Should have stuck with 2D.
And things called controllers!
Controllers, yeah.
Don't give the ugly to me.
And the ugly.
Go ahead, John.
You guys are going to make me hate on Sly Cooper, aren't you?
Oh,
whoa.
Come on, Sly!
Oh, Sly Cooper.
So, Sans Aero games are not Sucker Punch. And in 2013, don't make a platformer that plays like 1997.
Also, just don't make Sly Cooper games because they're fucking stupid.
Now, I love the Sly Cooper games, and I was excited. I was excited to play the new one, which is why John brought it by for me to try. After the 10-minute cutscene, we finally get to play, and right away, after a little bit of jumping, they stick you into
one jump. After one jump, they cut to a dialogue sequence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But after that, and after a couple of little jumping things, right away it's a gotta sneak around, don't get caught in the light. The kind of gameplay that drives me crazy. Let me jump around a bit first before we get to that. Let that be a second level kind of thing.
Also, right? Let's not make Sly Cooper such a snide, sarcastic jock douchebag. Let's not make him talk like a high school pretty boy. If Sly Cooper were played by a real person, it would be Freddie Prinze Jr.
Actually, it probably would be.
If Freddie Prinze Jr. ain't no Danny Ocean. It's just, I've never really found, I never understood the appeal of the games. I always found the platforming fairly weak.
Right.
In comparison to Ratchet and Clank or to Jak and Daxter games. I always hated the characters.
Right.
Really hate the characters. I think, and this is the reason I'm going to hold on to mine, that's going to be my excuse now, this is my escape clause, is, I think when my son is old enough to get into gaming, and Nintendo's not around anymore. I think it's a decent introductory thing, but yeah, it's painfully, painfully easy. And I've read a lot of reviews, and you know, people were wondering why Sony kind of just shuffled it out there and didn't really throw any amount of hype behind it
because it looks like a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks like a holdover. There's nothing really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what bit of magic Sucker Punch managed to throw into those older games, which you can see in Infamous, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I mean, the Infamous games are great.
Yeah, it's not there.
I agree.
Agreed.
So, I guess that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to have some exciting Sony stuff to talk about.
Oh, we will.
We've got some kind of thing coming up Wednesday night that may or may not be a PlayStation 4 unveiling. Come on. We all know what it is.
What?
It's a PlayStation 4 unveiling.
I thought you were going to say something. We all know what it is.
The sequel to Sony PlayStation Holsters.
It's going to be Sony unveiling Jet Moto 4!
Ow!
They're going to be announcing a new Jet Moto, a new Cool Borders.
Well, they already did Twisted Metal. Two Extreme and Three Extreme. Yeah. We're finally going to be getting Four Extreme. Battle Arena Toshinden 5.
Represent. No, you know what? I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be cool.
I think I'm taking a page from John Dre over here. I'm hoping that at the unveiling, some guy in the Crash Bandicoot suit comes out
to do the whole thing,
right?
Oh my god.
That'd be awesome.
Since they're so mad at him now, they could bring out Kevin Butler and have Crash Bandicoot sucker punch him. Cold cock, right in the face.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, tune in next week when I'm sure you'll hear John say,
there is no game out, only soon.
We out.